good place now. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight I'm going to be talking about letting go of certain things, about moving on, about rising to the occasion. You know, we talk about our life and we talk about what's important, and I believe that one of the most important things in our life is our relationship with ourselves. And I'm not talking about from a narcissistic point of view. I'm talking about understanding ourselves, getting deep with ourselves, understanding authentically who we are, why we do what we do, but better yet, unconditionally loving ourselves. And you know, one of my big things is to talk about how are you living your true life? Because in order to be living your true life, you have to be doing what's right by everybody, what's right by yourself, and you've got to be authentic and understanding. And what authentic means is being real with yourself, not lying to yourself, not putting yourself down. You know, and a lot of us have a lot of, we're scared. We put ourselves down. We have a lot of names and things that we call ourselves in our own mind. And as kids, you know, we wanted an identity. We wanted to create an identity so bad that a lot of us created an identity from what other people said we were or how we felt about ourselves when we were younger. And I remember as a kid, I thought I was a total dork. I thought I was a total dork, and I always wanted that really high-pitched voice. Yeah. My voice sounded like almost like this when I was a kid. And it's always very interesting in life because once we get past defining ourselves in ways that kind of hold us down, and we're able to see ourselves for who we are, and we're able to let go of those things that no longer serve us, it changes our life forever. And our most important relationship is with ourselves, because when we understand why we do what we do, we understand ourselves, we can understand basically everything else. And we realize not to let other things get to us. We realize what we have a choice in. And better yet, we realize what we can actually attain and what we can create, because we do create our own reality. I know, it's crazy. And our perspective does either really color an amazing, fascinating way our life, or it can really kind of add shade to our life. And so I thought tonight, there's nobody better than I can think about interviewing, because it's very interesting. I try to find things that are going on this planet that I think are inspiring, that I think offer value to us as a human race, to let go of things or to embrace things or to be able to functionally have time with ourselves in an amazing way. And so I recently came across the Rise Festival. The Rise Festival is held in Las Vegas in the fall, out in the desert. And it's a lantern festival. And there are people that go for various reasons. Everybody goes for their own reason. And I think last year they had about 14,000 people that went. And I'm sure that every one of those people had their own unique reason for being there. I have a friend of mine that attended, and he returned with a very amazing sense of self. And he seemed to be more at peace, because he was working to let go of fear in his life. And I find that sometimes we can meditate and we can visualize, and that's something that I use as a tool in my life. But I also find that being able to hold something that you can hold and you can see, and you can kind of put something to that object, can even make something happen even more. Because you have something there and you're letting something go. And in this situation, you have a lantern and you're letting it rise into the sky, and you're either, you know, having a prayer or dealing with the death of a loved one or having a big change in your life, or marking the day that you decided to get real with yourself. It's all up to you and your perspective. And Dan Hill joins us. He's a co-creator of Rise Festival, and I just think it's an amazing event, and I want to know more about it. Dan, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing good, actually. Doing good.
Glad to have you on with Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I want to know a little bit more about your backstory, because some of our listeners may or may not know about Rise Festival, some of them may, but let's talk about your background first, because I always find that very interesting to how people got into certain things.
Yeah, no, I think it's, I've been on this kind of weird path that, you know, I would have never expected to lead me to Rise. But there's that old saying, you know, you've heard people say, what would you do if money was no object?
Oh, yeah.
It's like a test you're supposed to do. So I got into events when I was in college. I actually was, I was taking more of a conventional route, was trying to go to graduate school, and a family friend had recommended that I start a business as, you know, something. I wanted to go to business school, and it recommended I start a business as something I could put on a grad school application. And his advice was, you know, it doesn't really matter what the business is. Like, the more, if it's more interesting or unique, that's probably better. And so that kind of, like, you know, looking back on my life, that ended up being like this really, like, important moment, because when I was a junior in college, I just decided to take up on advice, get a business, you know, on my resume. And I didn't really have, you know, when most people start businesses, they're looking for obviously something that's going to pay the bills, and you know, you're scared, and you look at, like, well, what's worked for other people in the past, or where do I feel like I've, you know, whatever. It's very financially motivated. Where for me, I kind of accidentally found myself on this more creative path where I thought, gee, what would be just a fun business to start? And all I really needed to do was, you know, just be a business. I didn't really need it to make money. I didn't have a family. So we started this relay event. It's a 200-mile, 12-person relay called Ragnar. And everyone runs, you know, each person on the team has three different turns of running, like 5 miles. So it's somewhat approachable for, you know, just about anyone. I mean, it's, even though it's 200 miles, that sounds really, you know, extreme. It's pretty moderate. And you know, people are going all through the night. They're in these vans all night, taking turns, supporting each other. So no one had ever really thought to make, like, a running event or, you know, in particular, a relay event kind of a business, or do a series of them. So, and we didn't necessarily start with that aim in mind. You know, I just thought it was a cool concept. It would be really fun. And it ended up just blowing up, becoming a really big event. And I ran that for about 8 years, and we had, by the time I left, I think we had about a dozen events around the country and around 70,000 people participating every year.
Wow.
But one of the things that happened with that was, people were having these really, like, for them, very meaningful, like, healing, bonding, you know, life-changing experiences, like these kind of transcendent experiences. And there was something about, you know, being up all night and kind of sleep-deprived, and then supporting your teammates. And then it's just hard enough that it makes you very present. You know, it's you're not thinking about your meeting next week or what happened last week. You're just, you know, you're there trying to get a little sleep, get some food in you, go to the bathroom, you know, support your teammate. And so it gives people a little more raw and allowed them to connect a little more deeply emotionally. And without really intending to start this business, it became a career, and I never ended up going to grad school. That ended up being, you know, my career path. And it was just really, for me, it was just so fulfilling to create something that, you know, I felt was making a positive impact, and something that I felt was honest and real. And it wasn't just about trying to kind of, you know, just get, you know, the most money in my bank account. It was about, like, trying to actually make a difference. And then, I had some investors along the way that helped us expand. And I kind of had a bit of a falling out. We had a little bit of falling out maybe a strong word. We had different intentions and goals for the business, and it was time for me to leave. So I sold out about 4 years ago and started this like fun run called Electric Run that we did, you know, this light show for 5K, and it just was completely hollow to me. I mean, from a business professional standpoint, we did great. We grew really rapidly and got into other countries really rapidly, but I just didn't really understand the product. I didn't really understand the customer. I didn't really feel like I was contributing to our culture or society at all. And it just was kind of spiritually hollow for me. So I wanted to create something that like was meaningful and like had, you know, I felt like helped
the
world, I guess.
I understand. I think a lot of us want to help the world, and a lot of us want to do things to, I don't know, help people find maybe an authentic living pattern or something to change and to get them out of maybe the rut, but also maybe to give back.
Yeah, 100%. And like, and when you can integrate that, you know, it's like it's a really great way to live. You know, when that's, you know, I think people, and that's not to say like every, you know, there's any job can be very honorable and fulfilling, but. You know, some of them, I guess, kind of scratch that itch more than others. It's really important to me. It's helped me a lot when I felt like the things I were doing.
That's cool.
Create a lot of value. So yes, I was looking at, three or four different event concepts. And one, you know, we talked about was, you know, if we do a Sky Lantern Festival in the U.S. and I'd never been to one, but we've been working on it for, I don't know, 8 months, talking about different ideas, you know, and nothing was really clicking. And then we went out to Thailand. We found an event going on in Chiang Mai. This would have been in 2013. And I took a few people with me, and we said, well, let's just take, you know, one of my colleagues was a great video producer. So I had him come out, and let's go volunteer, see how the event's done, see what it's all about. And it came at the end of a really stressful year for me, a really stressful week. And I remember we were all, you know, there at the event, and everyone was just kind of down, and everyone just looked kind of grumpy. And I'm like thinking, oh gosh, guys, like remember to smile, like, you know, we're going to shoot a video. And then we started releasing the lanterns, and it was just like pure joy. Like everyone, there's just something so incredible about it. And then, you know, I released my lantern, and, I just had this like kind of singular, almost like total consciousness moment where like just in an instance, it all completely came into focus. And we've been trying to figure out what the format was for this event for like 8 months. And in kind of that moment, it was just so clear that, you know, what I wanted that to feel like, what it needed to look like. And it was just one of those things where, you know, I never really lost that. And, you know, along the ways you get tempted to add like, you know, things that would kind of take away that original vision, that original motion, but, you know, was fortunate to have faith in that vision. And I think we built something really incredible. But yeah, it was one of those things where like everything came together. The next day we're thinking about, geez, what do we want to call this thing? And we're driving through Thailand. I see this billboard that says Rise. I'm like, wow, that'd be amazing. We should call it Rise. And we literally, like, I got on my phone at this restaurant and looked up risefestival.com, and it redirected me to some auction site where I was able to buy the URL for $300 or something. I mean, it was just amazing. Like those, you know,
serendipity,
the kind of founder story you hear that never really real. And then like we drew up the logo there on a napkin. And yeah. So
no, that's awesome. But that's what it's meant to be. I think, you know, I think a lot of times in life, I think more times than not, we make things more difficult than it is. And when we're kind of going off, maybe in the direction we aren't supposed to go, things become even more and more difficult. And it's kind of humorous and kind of just perfect in the way that when we do go the right direction and we are on to something, things seem to fall, like I like to say, up into place instead of down. You know, people always say things fell into place, but I think it does. I think it falls into place and you're kind of like, oh my God, I can't believe this all happened.
Right. I mean, completely. Which is kind of how it felt when we started Ragnar. It just sort of felt like, you know, like we were almost like on God's errand or something, or like, you know, like it just felt like everything kept working out for us. And then I hadn't felt that again until starting Rise. Everything just came together so well. It became really incredible that.
So let me ask you a question. I know that a lot of people that are listening right now probably aren't aware exactly, unless they were at your recent event, what RISE is for. Could you tell us a little bit about kind of the meaning behind the festival itself?
Yeah, you know, it's absolutely. And that's a question I always try to be a little bit delicate with, because, you know, we had this last year over 10,000 people there. And so there's really is, you know, 10,000 different meanings to the event. But I will, you know, it's intended to be an opportunity to either have healing, for whether that's for something in the past that you need to let go of, something that, you know, you're ready to turn over a new leaf on, or and people also use it as a celebration of, you know, new opportunities or new wonderful things in their lives. And so one of the things that happened, and that's what it was for me when I released that lantern, I just had this just awful year, and I was ready to make some big changes in my life. And that's kind of what I, that was my intention with releasing that lantern. I'm just going to let go of this 2 years of sort of chasing the dollar and go back to my roots of like chasing what's meaningful to me. And I was just startled by how healing it was and how, you know, how I was able to kind of let go of the stress and pain of that year and get recentered on, you know, building something meaningful. And so when we created the event, I wanted it to be safe for that. We didn't, you know, we've intentionally never done any sponsors. We don't do any, you know, I don't want there to be anything that distracts people from what are their experiences in terms. And it was really neat to see before even the first event, like how that caught on. Like our Facebook wall site almost became like, it felt like almost this religious edifice as people were commenting on, oh, I'm going to go send a prayer to my mom who passed away, or, you know, I'm coming with my ex, you know, my ex-husband, and we had a really toxic divorce 3 years ago, and we have kids, and we're going to come like let go of the toxic and, you know, have a more productive co-parenting relationship going forward. And then we had people, you know, come. We had at least a dozen proposals, wedding proposals, marriage proposals at that first event. People that were celebrating new jobs, people that were praying for new jobs. We had people that were praying for, they've been trying to conceive. In fact, we heard one couple contacted us the second year. So they've been trying to get pregnant for a long time. I want to say years. And they end up getting pregnant about a month after RISE, at that first RISE. And so then they came, then the baby was born about a month before the second RISE, and they came out to give thanks for that. So there's, it's, you know, it truly is that there's 14,000 people there. There's 14,000 different experiences. And that's been really neat to see that somehow, you know, joy and also mourning, like, have been able to, there's an emotion at RISE that those two things have been able to coexist. And it's really unlike anything I've ever seen before in that respect.
That's awesome. You know, I know that, you know, it's interesting when we think about, you know, lifting something up and letting things go. And, you know, we hear about people talking about, you know, letting fear go, or, you know, working to let pain go and what have you. And you have all these different things. And I find it interesting how it's very symbolic, you know, what y'all are doing in the festival, as far as you're basically taking a lantern, right, and letting it rise into the heavens, basically, right? So you're letting it go up. And in that process, people can focus on whatever they want to focus, to either let go or to maybe create something new, that kind of sort of thing. And so, yeah, you're right. So there could be 14,000. How many people are there? Everybody has their own specific, unique experience. That's really cool.
And they write on the side of their lanterns as well. So that's one of the, so there's a nice, you know, like, it's a really great faith mindfulness exercise where, you know, so one guy I became really good friends with, and his name's Eric. He wouldn't mind me sharing, because he's allowed us, we've shared his story on our blog and with the media and stuff in Vegas. But his son had died 18 years earlier through, you know, some medical stuff that was just, the doctors had just made a lot of mistakes, and he lost his son. And then subsequently lost his marriage and lost his faith. And so many things came out of that. And he came down with his second wife, his new wife, and they wrote, you know, he wrote this letter to his son, wrote this prayer to his son, and then released it. And he, you know, and I've kept in contact with him. I've been friends with him. And, you know, he wrote me like 6 months later, I remember him saying, you know, what I thought would be kind of this momentary glow has, you know, it's been 6 months. And he's like, this is the first time I felt joy in 18 years. And then I saw him again at the second event, and he just looked different. Like, his face looked lighter. He just was a different person. And he, and I, and it just happened that the second event was on the, it was the 19 year anniversary of his son's death.
Oh my gosh.
And he's like, you know, the pain's just gone. Like, he's like, of course you always love your son, or, but it's just that he's like, I've, you know, that healed me. Which was just, I mean, obviously like that's pretty amazing to be a part of that and to get to kind of have that relationship with him and that experience with him. But you had to just look at it, but be able to look at that pain and look at that experience, and then you let it go. And it's just, there's something that happens that you probably understand better than I do. I'm learning about this whole world, but that's pretty neat for people.
Yeah, that's amazing. I mean, anytime that people can let go of pain that has resonated with them for so long. You know, I see clients that walk in, and you and I were kind of talking about this earlier, off air, you know, is the fact that, you know, I deal with clients a lot that they're holding on to something, and that whatever they're holding on to is causing them pain. And a lot of times we all don't realize exactly what we're holding on to. We don't realize what it causes in our life, and kind of honestly how what we hold on to actually holds us down.
Interesting.
And, yeah, it's very interesting. And sometimes when we have loss or we feel regret, you know, it's kind of, and you know, it's like when I'm around, like, you know, kids, because I also do therapy with children too. It's like, it's kind of like the black cloud. It's like whatever you're holding on to. And I find this very interesting. I had a couple of friends that actually attended y'all's festival, and one of them let go. One of the things they were working on was letting go of fear. The fear of change, because they moved from where my show was based at to California, and they were scared because it was very new, and they were going out of their comfort zone, and they were doing something very big, and they didn't have a lot of resources, and they were pulling it together. And it was interesting because they didn't even know about the festival. A friend of them told them about that. They actually went out to the desert, Las Vegas, and went out there and did it. And he said it was the most, he felt so free because he literally, you know, put that lantern, you know, and let it go based on, I'm letting go of my fear to live. I can live. I can make this. I can do this. And I saw him in LA about a month and a half ago. He's doing amazing. He's doing great. He, you know, has a job. He's happy where he is. He's consciously happy. He's consciously living an authentic life every day. And when he feels fear, he deals with it. And he says that a lot of this was predicated on the fact that he was able to basically, at that time, let it go.
Yeah, it's amazing.
That's pretty cool. Yeah.
Well, and I didn't know any of this. So that was, like, one thing that's been so, like, I feel like a participant in this with everyone else, because I've never, you know, I think I, you know, like, I guess my kind of healing, you know, I had some religious upbringing where I've done some healing stuff, and then running was always really meditative for me, but I wasn't, like, I wasn't from, you know, I studied some of this stuff, but I wasn't familiar with kind of some of this mindfulness stuff. And so for me, it really was this, like, kind of this vision, and I knew it had to be, like, we kept everything very simple, very non-distracting, like, no ego, we don't hype, you know, we have celebrities will come on their own, but we never talk about them. And there's this litmus test for me of, you know, if I was sending a prayer to my brother that died when I was younger, like, would this offend me, you know, whether that's a sponsor, Hawking, you know, I'm like, yeah, it would. So, okay, so we're not going to do it. And then since then, I've studied all this, and spent, like, it just, you know, I feel very much like I'm along for the ride with everyone else. Like, I didn't know how powerful this type of approach would be for people or for myself.
That's really neat. And I think that it is so symbolic and it's so powerful. And one of the things that I think is interesting is, first off, you got to get there. And so I find that in life, any time that we have to get off our ass and drive a distance with real meaning and desire and dedication to get there, we put more in it of ourselves. I also find that, you know, when we believe in something, you know, when we believe in something and you see other people doing it and you see their intensity and their feelings, I think that's also something that drives you. And then, you know, it was interesting a long time ago when I, well, not a long time ago, but years ago when I learned how to do a certain meditation, when I first was sitting there and I was learning from Dhruvalo Mackeshnik, I was like, he was teaching this whole process and I thought, this is crazy. Like, this is real. And all of a sudden, I just said to myself, I said, you know what? Everything is possible. I mean, for God's sakes, the Kardashians have a TV show. I can get past this and I can figure this out and I can make this a reality. And I was able to enter the heart space. I was able to go to that meditation that I use on a daily basis. But I think when people are able to dispel certain things and belief systems that don't work, and I also think, like what you're saying about none of the distractions, that's what people need, is that in order to go into a situation like this and feel good, it's just like having no distraction and having no people like trying to push stuff and sell stuff, and you know, having that star component where everybody's like, oh, there's, you know, there's Kanye right. West or whoever over there, and that's fine. And I hope them the best if they attend that type of festival, but I'm glad that y'all aren't making a three-ring circus out of it.
Absolutely, yep, exactly. Well, one thing that happened completely by, again, you know, just talking about by accident is, you know, we got to get people, you know, so the event by its nature has to be away from anything. You know, we designed these, our own sky lanterns, so they have a very short flight time and then we go clean them all up. But we still can't be next to like buildings or parking lots because they do fly on fire for a little ways, you know? And so part of that basically mandates you have to walk into the venue. So there's about a quarter mile walk. And then when you put, and we're out in the middle of nowhere, you put that many phones on a network, it crashes. So there's no phones. I mean, there would normally be phone service, but during the event, like the phone service all goes down because there's just too many phones there. And you kind of walk out and you don't have a phone and you, and like, and you sort of just let go. And we don't do any, like all of our signage is very simple. It's really well done. But it's not like we don't do big gaudy, you know, arches over the pathway or anything like that. And kind of out there in the desert with your friends, and then we do live music for a little while, so to, you know, people arrive throughout the day, so you listen to live music for an hour or two, and we try to get really talented artists. We don't do any big names because for the same reasons we don't do big, you know, celebrity hype, but we get really talented musicians, and then we do this release, and it's just something else.
That's really awesome. I mean, you know, for people listening tonight, I mean, kind of, what's your philosophy? I mean, is it just like helping people, opening people's minds, kind of helping them define themselves maybe, or?
You know, I really, honestly, like this was the biggest leap of faith I've ever taken. Like, I just had this, I just sort of saw the event in Thailand and I didn't know what, like, I just knew it felt, I had an experience and I just believed I had to make it. Like, I didn't really understand it. Like, I like, it sounds crazy, but it's true. And like, when we did the spreadsheet, like, it didn't make sense even from a business perspective. But I've really been really careful about, like, I want people to be able to have their, cause for some people it's just, you know, it's just beautiful and they want like a cool photo and like, that's great. Like, and they can have a fun night and they get a cool photo. And, you know, some people it's like this intensely spiritual thing where they're mourning someone that died, or for some people it's, you know, they're proposing or, I felt like out of respect for all those different experiences, like, you know, we chose not to have a charity because, I felt as though, you know, if we made it about cancer, like, did that diminish the experience for someone that's there because of a divorce or, you know, like, mm-hmm. I really want to leave it open so people can have their own experience.
I love that. And I think it makes it so, I think that makes so accessible for people, because I do feel that, you know, nowadays sometimes people can almost feel they might have issues in their life and they might have things that they're working on, but they might be like, well, it's not that big of a deal. You know, at least I don't have cancer or what have you. And they kind of belittle what they're going through, you know? And it's like, well, no, that's your challenge that you got to deal with. You know what I mean? And you don't want to belittle it, but you got to work to get rid of it. You got to work to let it go. You know, and it doesn't mean that
well,
that's
it's a little
difficult.
Bit. It's a little bit what you and I talked about before we started the interview, where, you know, like you said, if it was about cancer, then everyone comes in to see me about cancer. But, and that's great. Like, I mean, we've all been impacted by cancer. That's a very worthy cause. But yeah, like for some, like losing a job is a loss. Like, that's a real thing you need to, and like, yeah, would you feel like Jesus isn't as big a deal as cancer? And, like, no, that's real. Like, you need to mourn that or have that experience. And so we want this to be safe for people to have whatever experience they choose to have.
When is y'all's next event? Do you know yet? Or is it still on the planning list?
We're going to announce it in about 2 weeks. It will be in October in the same area, just outside of Vegas. But we haven't announced the date or location yet. We'll be announcing that in the next couple weeks.
I'll definitely want to be attending that one. I mean, I heard so many great things. I'm definitely looking forward to it. And are you working on any other projects at the same time, too, that are streamlined with this?
No, you know, like, I just really have felt like this is something I need to focus on for a few years and just keep, we're just doing the one that, the great thing about, you know, it's really tricky, like, the lanterns can travel quite a ways, and so we have, like, miles of desert in every direction, and we go, you know, we have to send out that basically an army to go clean them up. And so there's not very many places that we could do it. And there's things I still want to perfect about the event. So we just made, you know, the great thing about Vegas is people can get there from anywhere. So we felt like rather than trying to do multiple events, or let's just get this one really perfected and spend our energy on doing this one right. So that's our focus.
That's really neat. I plan on being there. And let me ask you, since you, you know, to me, just from talking to you for this little bit of time, I mean, I definitely think you're extremely authentic. You know, how are you living your true life? I mean, if you were to explain it to our listeners.
Well, that's what this was about for me. You know, like Ragnar meant a lot to me, but I was kind of foolish. I brought on investors and they were great and they helped me. I learned a lot, but, you know, they're more financially motivated. And I felt like, for me at least, it lost some of what I wanted it to be. And then when you're young and you're scared and you're also ambitious and all these things, and I really just burnt myself out for the first 10 years of my career, just trying to just conquer the world. And I made a decision to simplify. And, you know, I'm just doing, I got rid of these big series. I just did this one event. And then trying to kind of, you know, sort of allocate my emotional, mental resources towards the things that are most important to me, which are like, you know, my kids, I try to eat well and work out and just try to take way better care of myself. You know, like, I had this moment just recently where I kind of like broke down and was like, holy shit. Like I kind of had to apologize to myself. Like I put you through what no one should have to go through, you know, like that was not a reasonable pace. And, you know, I felt like I kind of like lost a decade, you know, like, and now I'm just trying to be more, you know, basically start living my life and be more just balanced, I guess.
I love that. And that's one of the things that's interesting. You touched on that. That's one of the things I talk about with my patients and clients is that a lot of times we put ourselves in these lives and we're very, very difficult, very hard on ourselves. And, you know, I explain the fact that, you know, we all have, you know, this higher being, this higher self. And it's sometimes, you know, we can run ourselves ragged, but other times it's almost like putting the higher self in like a prison. And it's hard to figure that out. I mean, people do that all the time. I mean, they treat themselves either, you know, in your situation, you're running ragged and working all the time. And in other people's situations, it's just like they don't respect themselves or they don't love themselves. And so they're constantly so hard and so mean to themselves. Right. And they don't even realize they're putting their like inner soul in like this prison. It's just an abusive type situation. And when they figure that out, they're like, oh my God, I can't believe I've done this to myself.
100%. When I never really thought, like, yeah, I mean, I could go on and on about that, but I mean, you said it perfectly. I agree with that completely.
I just think it's interesting, and I think we're the hardest on ourselves. And I've done a lot of things recently on, like, you know, talking about Throwback Thursdays and that kind of sort of thing. Every Thursday I do a video on that, which is pretty cool. And I put it out on Facebook. You know, we're both Facebook people, and put it out there. And I love it because I really focus. I look back at my childhood pictures, and I look and I remember what I was thinking. And even as a kid, I was so hard on myself. You know, you're just so hard on yourself. You're like, why can't I be prettier? You know, why can't I have that high-pitched cheerleader voice? Why can't I never had a high-pitched voice. This has always been my voice, Dan. I'm serious. I know, man. I mean, it's like, come on, help me out. But, you know, but that's the thing. And I think we're all going to really hard on ourselves, but also that difficult and that hard goes all the way through our life. And some people never stop. Some people are totally hypercritical on themselves from the beginning to the end. And it's just like when we finally recognize it and realize it, we're like, oh my God, I just want to live out the rest of my life and actually respect myself and show myself self-love and care and show everybody else the same thing and what I want, you know?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, no, it's absolutely wild. Like that was my, I never thought of like integrity as like, applying to myself. Like I always, like, that was a really high value of mine. Or like if I you know, like with employees, like if we were sort of vague on their compensation package or something like that and the year was up, like, you know, it's like, well, that was my fault we were vague, so I'm gonna err in their favor, you know, like that was integrity. But like it never occurred to me until like over the last couple of years, like that applies to yourself. It's like being kind to yourself is an act of integrity, or like standing up for yourself is also an act of integrity. And then, that was part of like me kind of figuring it out, I guess. But yeah, like, I mean, we're so hard on ourselves. Like I'm really tolerant of everybody, but like, I like abuse myself for like the silliest little things, you know? And that's, I'm trying to work with myself more instead of trying to like, treat, you know, like nurture a garden, I guess, rather than like try to beat it into submission.
know? I totally understand. I mean, I've been there, and it's like, you know, I work on it daily, and you know, sometimes, you know, you slip back into it and you catch yourself and you're like, what the hell am I doing?
Yeah.
You know, I'm beating my own ass up, you know what I mean? I'm beating my own self up and I can't even believe this, and this is me. And I find that a lot of us do it, and we're very hard on ourselves. And you're so right. It's like you can be so lenient and so helpful to everybody else, but then, you know, behind closed doors, you can be the biggest jerk to yourself.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
It's interesting. Well, I look forward. I mean, I want to talk with you more. I mean, you're highly intelligent. You're very cool to talk with. And I mean, I want to know more about what's going on, and I just can't wait to have you back on the show because, you know, very inspiring stuff here. Very inspiring stuff.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I enjoyed the conversation too. It'd be great to meet you someday. Come out to, you're going to come out this year. Yeah,
I am for sure.
Okay. Well, hopefully I can meet you there. It's a busy week for me, obviously, but let's definitely talk again. And yeah, I really appreciate you taking the time.
Well, Dan, thank you so much, and I look forward to attending the Rise Festival this coming up year. I really look forward to meeting you, and I look forward to having you back on Live Your True Life Perspectives.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, thank you for taking the time, and me also. I look forward to meeting you, and I'm excited to get your take on the event after you experience it. It'll be fun to hear what you think.
I love it. You'll definitely hear my perspective.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Dan. Take care. Have a good night.
You too. Take care.
I'm definitely looking forward to attending a Rise Festival. I think it's very interesting. And I think that most of us have learned a lot about it. And I really thought that before going into this interview with Dan, I felt like this is what I was going to hear. And I'm glad that I did. And I think it's interesting, especially with Dan, how his work has crossed over into his purpose. And yes, that's a very amazing situation when that happens. And I know that some of us out there, you know, listening to the show right now say, you know, hey, I wish that was the case, but I got to work and I got to do what I'm doing right now to make money to provide for my family so I can do this. And I totally understand that. But I ask you, you know, maybe even in your spare time, to begin to find something that you just love doing, whether your purpose is the environment or you know, helping kids learn how to read or whatever it is, or being more spiritually attained and being able to understand spiritually who you are. Because I find that the more we understand who we are, the better we understand the world around us. Because, you know, when we understand why people do what they do, and we start by understanding who we are and the decisions we make, we greater understand what other people are doing. And a good example of that is when I make decisions and I make choices and I make certain actions based on my choices, I understand why I did it. And so when other people are making their decisions based on their choices, I understand. And it makes life a lot easier to understand. And I think that it also makes life a lot easier to understand who it is that you want to spend time with. Who do you gravitate to? But better yet, in the end, the relationship that matters the most is the relationship with you. And that's what I always think is very interesting, because as a therapist, you know, I know that a lot of therapists see things differently. And I'm not saying that one way is not as important as another, but I will say one thing. One of the things I work on is helping people understand who they are and creating a relationship with themselves that is based on love and honesty and truth and being authentic and having unconditional love for oneself. And I think we talked about this earlier, Dan and I, about just beating ourselves up. And I know that a lot of people out there right now listening, I know you beat yourself up all the time. Okay, you do it, and it's painful. And if you begin to kind of think about this, and I know this might be a little crazy and shocking at first, but I think if you realize and you visualize it, you'll understand where I'm coming from. Think about if you were stuck in a prison and you couldn't get out, right? How you would feel. And, you know, think about it. You're stuck in a prison and you can't get out. And there's some people out there that are in prison and can't get out and they don't feel good about it. They're not happy about it. But what if you were the one that puts yourself in prison and you do it every day your whole life? Because it's interesting how we all have, people call it your soul, people call it the heart space, people call it the higher self, people call it the spirit within. And we have this within us. And when we don't allow ourselves to be authentic and we don't live our true life, we hold that higher self, that spirit, hostage. We hold them prisoner in a prison that we built. And it's very painful and it's very sad. And over time, it wears and wears on that spirit. And there's always time. I mean, if you're still alive, there's always time to change this. But I'm telling you, the quicker you figure it out, the better your life is. And, you know, I'm writing that book called Deathbed Wisdom. Okay, I'm writing this book called Deathbed Wisdom. It's in the process right now of being finished. And when I was a kid, you know, I went through a lot of, well, my whole life for the first, who am I kidding? For the first 27 years of my life was a very difficult, challenging life. I had one health condition that stumped the doctors for a long, long, long time, you know, and they found out that 180 remarkable, unique individuals in the world had it. And, you know, those odds weren't really what I wanted. But I learned a lot as a kid. And it's the same as when people get older and they learn, you know, in that deathbed and they realize what they wanted to do or what they wish they had done. And I don't want you to be there. I want you to let go of some of the things that are holding you back. And the reason why I chose to interview Dan is because, one, I respect him. Okay, I respect him. And the second thing is that I like what his event and what he's doing. Because think about it visually, okay? So you have a lantern, right? You have a lantern, you're putting light into it, a light source, which happens to be fire, and you're basically moving it up, and it's rising because of the fire and that sort of thing. It's rising into the sky. And I always think it's interesting because I always tell people, you know, if you want to let go of something, if you want to lift yourself up, you got to let go, and you got to consciously do it. And I find that when we use imagery, that really works. But when we actually use something that you can touch, something tangible, that works even better for a lot of people. And, you know, I think that's why I find it so interesting that this works for so many people. And that's what I think is really neat. And so right now in your life, you don't have to wait till October. Begin to, and you don't have to light things on fire and throw them up into the air, but you can begin to visualize things that it's time to let go of. You can begin to visualize things that are time to let go of, whether it's fear. Maybe it's the loss of a job or the loss of a spouse, loss of a child. Maybe it's the feeling that you've never been good enough. Maybe it's letting go of personal definitions that you've taken upon yourself to define yourself with, or that you've taken other people's definitions of you that's been very limiting, and letting that go. Maybe it's a new start in life, a new authentic start. Maybe it's to agree that it is time now to allow yourself to be who you want to be. And I find it interesting because I know that a lot of people, and for a long time too, I didn't really know that I could be what I wanted to be. You know, I knew that I was sickly and I had these issues and I didn't know. And I was always kind of dealing with those issues a lot, so it was really hard. But when I did have a chance, I always kind of knew what I wanted to be in life, but I just didn't know if that's possible. And so I ask you right now to begin to write down maybe some of the things that you want to do in life and maybe the person you want to be, and begin to visualize that. And realize that you can lift yourself up. You have the ability to, but I think we have to begin with having that vision that we know that we can. And I always find it very interesting when we go that extra mile, make that extra journey, take that extra step to do something good for ourselves. And I'm not talking about having that pint of Ben and Jerry's ice cream. Not that that's wrong. But I mean about doing something that's going to really better you. And I think that's what's so important, is that we put a price tag on cars and homes and clothing, but we don't really think about spending our time and energy on us, on finding that love for ourselves, on understanding who we are, on figuring out exactly what makes us up and who we are, and what we want to work on, what we want to maximize, who we are. And you know, it's interesting because our relationship with ourselves is the most important relationship we have. We come in on our own and we leave on our own. And some of you say, well, I had twins. I'm a twin. So no, it was two of us came in at the same time. Well, you didn't come in at the exact same time. And you know, I think it's interesting because we all have a different perspective on life based on our past. Based on our experiences, based on our readings and what we've done throughout life. And these experiences could be very amazing, and these experiences could be very negative and very harsh. But I ask you now, you can't change the past, and I understand that, and you know that, and I know that, but we can change the present right now. We can change the way we look at things. We can change what we dwell on. We can change what we think about. We can focus on what we want to focus on. And yes, there are certain things that you may have to deal with, but you can deal with it in your own way. You know, a really good example of that is if somebody's trying to bring you into some drama or some negativity, remember, if somebody, you know, communicates with you first off, you don't have to reciprocate. You don't have to do anything you really don't want to do. I mean, some occasions when it comes to work and certain things, you might have to go to work and you don't want to. You might have to take care of that report and you don't want to do that. But all in all, I think Dan spoke about that too, about standing up for yourself. There's been several times in the past where it seems like it's easy to not stand up for ourselves. Like, for example, you know, maybe somebody makes a comment and we go, oh, yeah, yeah, okay. Or they say something that we kind of disagree with, but we agree with it. And I have a really good example of this, and I think that y'all will find this very funny. It was a couple years ago, and I was asked to go to a dinner of a couple of news reporters were there, and I was basically, I'd actually been on the news with them a couple of times, doing some stuff on depression, anxiety, and dealing with the holiday seasons and those types of different things. And it was interesting. We were basically, you know, reconnecting. And so I got to the restaurant and I said hi to everybody and gave a hug and a kiss to two people and another person, and then met this other couple across from the table. And then I remember there was a gentleman sitting at the end on the other side of the table, but he was looking away toward the wall. And so I couldn't really figure out who he was or what was going on, but I kind of assumed he was on the phone or doing his own thing. And so I didn't really think about it. And about 10 minutes later, he turns around and looks at me, and I realize I've known this person for a while. I've spent time with them and actually gone out, had a few drinks with them, and I met him through a mutual friend of ours. And they went to introduce him to me, and he acted as if he didn't know me. He went to go on, okay, oh yeah, I'm so-and-so, and you're who? Oh, Ashley Burgess. And I was like, and at first, it's like I felt weird about stepping up to the plate and saying, hey, you know me. And for one split second, I almost went with it. I almost just allowed it to be the way it was. And I knew that was a lie. And I said, hey, wait a second. No, no, we know each other. And everybody turned around and looked and was like, excuse me? And they looked at him and they go, you know Ashley? And he looked right at me and he goes, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. We've known each other. And like, we've talked about her before she even came to the table, and you've known her the whole time? Really? And I remember he got up and left kind of early. He got up and left kind of early from the table. I have no idea why. Anyway, but the thing is that sometimes in life, it seems easier in the beginning to just go with the status quo. Even though the status quo doesn't better you, and the status quo makes you feel weird. It makes you feel wrong. Because you're lying. And it's wrong. But you're not only lying, you're lying against yourself. You're hurting yourself just to try to fall into suit, just to try to be one with the crowd, just to try to fit in. And so I ask you to begin now by not putting yourself last in these situations. When we stand up for what's right, we know it. When we stand up for what's right, it feels good in our heart. It feels good in our body. We feel good about it and we know it. When we stand up for what's right, everybody knows. But the most important person that knows is you. And that light that sheds through you and brings for you is absolutely amazing. And that propels us to do great, great things. And I know that you are destined and can definitely do amazing, great things. You just have to believe it. Once you believe it within your heart and you work to achieve it, that's it. And I know sometimes people say, well, there's a lot of work. And sure, there is a lot of work. There is a lot of work. Nobody said it was going to come easy. But why does it have to be hard either? I mean, life is like that. When we work towards something and we work towards something and we really focus ourselves toward it, over a period of time, with tenacity, authentically living, driving ourselves, believing in ourselves consistently. And there'll be times that you'll sit there and question yourself, I can't believe I'm doing this. I can't believe I'm doing this. Is this really ever going to work out? Oh my God, I'm crazy. Is this ever going to work out? But the more you focus, if it's authentic, and if whatever you're trying to do is living your true life, and you're not hurting other people, and you're doing right by yourself and doing right by others, if you continue to work on it and give it your all, you will get it. But it takes tenacity, and it takes being authentic, and it takes work, and it takes being steady and consistent and doing it. And yes, it will happen. I can't tell you what day it'll happen. I can't tell you how many years it's going to take because I don't know that either. I think it's different for everybody. But I do know that you can't be something that you don't believe you can be. You can only believe what you believe is a possibility, what you believe is a possibility or plausibility. And that's what matters. And I think that's interesting. You know, I do a speech on the circuit, and it's titled Fill in the Blank. Because we've all grown up with identities that were kind of given to us, that our parents basically told us we were like, or our teachers or our friends, and over time we were probably difficult and hard on ourselves, and we had certain beliefs about ourselves, and we let all this kind of mold and shape our life. Some of it good and some of it, well, not so good. And I ask you right now to begin to look at that identity that you've created and let go of some of those things that don't define you. Some of those things that put you in a small little box and limit your ability to do things. I ask you to begin to realize the things of identity that are positive and the things that are negative. And I ask you to identify the things that are limiting and the things that are not limiting and let go. Let go of the things that are limiting. Let go of the things that are not nice. It's time. It's time to rise to the occasion. It's time for you to rise to the occasion, to rise to where you need to go, to jumpstart your life. Check out my website at ashleyberges.com, ashleyberges.com. Also, you know, send me a message on Twitter, you know, shout out at Ashley Burgess is my Twitter handle. And I love hearing from you. I also tweet and retweet what I love. So send me something, and if I love it, I'll retweet it. I'll send it out to everybody I know. Also, check out Facebook, Ashley Burgess. I have new videos up every Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday. Remember, Monday is Motivational Monday. Tuesday is Transformation Tuesdays. And Thursdays is hashtag TBD, Throwback Thursdays. So from now on out, remember that it's about living your true life. How are you living your true life? Hashtag LYTL. I want to hear from you. So let me know how you're living it, because I'll be able to pass some of that information on to my listeners and to folks on the web. I'll have a great show for you next. Thanks for listening. Let me know of any show topics that you want to hear about next. Live Your True Life Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess. We'll be back this time in 3 shakes.